Good again to be in your midst and to be able to speak to you. I've chosen tonight some thoughts from the 13th chapter of the book of John, and I would like to start reading with verse 34 and also read 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And this would be a statement which would show, if we really have this love one for another, it would show that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I would like to carry a few thoughts along this line tonight, and I'd like to turn over to the 1 John and the 4th chapter and bring to our attention verses 16 through 18. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. For God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth with God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And I like this particular verse. For we live in a world that has much fear within the confines of it. It is one of the prophetical statements that Jesus Christ made about the time of the end, that men's heart would fail him for fear, for looking after the things that would come upon the face of the earth. And we happen to be living in a part of that time. And yet, if we have the love of Christ in our hearts, and if we follow him, we find this statement, a true statement. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And how true that is. There are many peoples in this world tonight that are fearful of the night. They're fearful of what might take place. And there are a lot of things that aren't too nice that take place. But yet in all of it, if we have our faith stayed on Jesus Christ and God, we have nothing to fear. And this says that this perfect love can cast us off all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I would like to bring to our attention from 1 Peter now, the 3rd chapter. And this is found in verses 8 through 12. And it tells of the type of people we really should be. We each got a responsibility of following Christ and God, and we have a responsibility of living their image. And it says in this particular reading, in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, finally, be ye all of one mind. And there are a lot of scriptures that indicate that we should function in unity and in oneness of attitude. We should work together in unity, having compassion one of another. And we know that Jesus Christ, as he walked the face and breadth of this earth, was a man of compassion. He had concern for his fellow beings. And likewise, he set an example for you and I to follow. And he intended that we, each one, should have that compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. And as I've had cause to say, courtesy is one of the things that really don't cost us one thing to be. In the same way with kindness. And I've found out that most everybody I know appreciate kindness. Even some big, rough, burly men appreciate kindness. And courtesy don't hurt anybody to be courteous one toward another. And what a different world this would be if on the morrow, as we went about our activities of life, that everybody you met was courteous to you and kind as well. It would be a different world, wouldn't it? But it isn't always that way. But yet, the Scripture plainly indicates that this is a type of people that you and I are to be like unto. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. And really that is the natural inclination of the carnal man, to render evil for evil. If somebody does something to you, to do something back. But this isn't the way Christ did it. He suffered more than any man ever suffered on the face of this earth, and yet he was one of kindness and tenderness. He was a man that was meek and lowly in heart. And he intended that you and I might be meek and lowly in heart as well. And he even said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And he also said, "If you do this, you shall find rest for your soul." So in a world that has turmoil all about us, and certainly we cannot deny that there is a lack of turmoil in this world, for it is ever present about us, but it is not to our honor and glory if it comes into our midst. So we're not to render evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, and I think we kind of like life, even though it gets kind of tough at times, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Now I find that this is wise counsel. People weigh each one of us on what we say. They know who we are and the type of people we are by what we say. Our voice and the thoughts that we display in it really give us away of the type of people we are. And it could be to our benefit or it could be to our detriment. By our language we are known. And I kind of like King Benjamin of old when he told us that we're to watch our thoughts and our words and what we say. We got a duty to do that. Young and old alike, we've got a duty to do that, to watch what we do and what we say. Because people are watching us. If we used profanity, we've already ruined our image. If we tell stories that are a little off color, again, we ruin our image. But we can say goodly things and do goodly things, and people will know there is something different about you. And we're also to refrain our lips, that they speak no guile. And it says, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And ensue it means to follow it, to follow after the things that could make for peace in our individual lives. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Now, did you hear that? That's plain. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And we might ponder upon these thoughts tonight and let them sink deeply into our heart. And I'd like to turn to 4th Nephi on page 681 in the Book of Mormon. And I would just like to read, to start with, at the bottom of the page there, verse 3. Of a people who came a long way. Of a people who are among those, to start with, the more righteous that were saved after the terrible destruction that took place at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And these people, in 2 years after he came to this continent, after his crucifixion, were all converted unto the Lord. It's hard for me to even conceive such a marvelous happening as that. It didn't indicate it took many years at all, did it? And in 2 years this was done. Well, let us read a little bit about this. And it came to pass in the 36th year, and the ending of the 34th year, Jesus came to this continent. This same book tells us. And he taught them the same as he taught the people in Jerusalem. He taught them the way of life. He taught the importance of repentance and baptism. And he gave them the commandments that they should follow. And these people believed. He chose 12 disciples to preach this gospel, and I'm sure they had others as well. And it says, in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord. Upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And note this wonderful condition that they have. And I kind of love to read this from time to time, and I hope you never tire hearing it read. Because it says there were no contentions and disputations among them. You know, I'd kind of like to be in a place like that. You know, it'd be kind of nice when there would be no contention and there's no disputing. And every man did deal justly one with another. Kind of nice, isn't it? Well, let's turn on over on the next page here. In fact, on page 683. Why was this all possible? There's a lot here I could read, but I'll just pick up with verse 17. And let us think upon this. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land. Why wasn't it there? Because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. That is why there was no contention. Now we have some real fine scriptures. And Jesus Christ said to search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That was a commandment of our master. That is a duty of you and I. And when we fail to really search the scriptures and study them, we become the loser. And I can testify of that. When I fail to do it, I am the loser. When you fail to do it, you are the loser. For in these scriptures is the way of life, clearly outlined to our understanding, if we will but avail ourselves of these truths. And note what went along with this place of no contention, and because of this great love that did dwell in the hearts of the people, and there were no envyings. You know, that would be something to even fathom, wouldn't it? It's even difficult for me to understand, because we live in a world of covetousness and envy. We must confess that this is true. We don't have to be a part of it, but it is all about us. If we aren't careful, it can become a part of us. And we really can't deny, perhaps at times it has been a part of us. Not to our honor and glory, I'd say that for sure. But nonetheless, it said there was no envyings, and nor strifes, nor tumults. If you can just imagine a place like that and people living under it. But the reason they were able to arrive at it was because of the love that they had one toward another. You know, there's a scripture I didn't even intend to bring out tonight. I'm going to turn to it, though. Over in the book of Genesis. It's kind of nice with this because it ties with us. And it shows how Abraham, and his name was still called Abram then. It's in the 13th chapter. And I'm really just maybe going to read the 8th verse and maybe the 9th. But I'll tell you a little of the story here. We find that in the days of Abraham and Lot, as they dwelt in this land, and their herdsmen dwelt together, and finally the land was just too confining for all of them, and the herdsmen began to contend one with another, and there was strife among them. And now I want to read verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. And listen to this, for we be brethren. So, you know, we're brethren. Let's not have any strife between us. I kind of like the way. Now, I want to show you the way Abraham, as his name was later changed to, handled this rather difficult situation. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. In other words, Abraham was willing to take second best to top the strife, to stop it. Now, would we be willing to take second best to stop it, to get along with our fellow man? He might ask a question. That's the way Abraham handled it. And what did Lot do? I'm not going to go into all the story here, but he lifted up his eyes and looked out to this well-watered plain, the best part, like a Garden of Eden. And he chose that. And he left Abraham not quite as good, but they dwelt side by side in peace because Abraham was willing to concede and prefer his brother. Kind of a nice story, isn't it? It kind of goes along with the way these people got along one with another. No strife, nor tumults, nor whoredoms. Boy, that's some different world, isn't it? Nor lines, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And certainly these things are running rampant upon the face and breadth of our great nation today. And what they had in the early days of our country is not as good. Was better, about the word back, it was better than what they have today, because they relied upon God and Christ. In the early days when our nation was founded, they relied upon God and Christ. And today, all too often, our nation seeks other sources for their answers and their strength. But these people knew who was the source of their strength. And surely, and this is what I kind of like to, you know, some of these scriptures are so nice to read. They kind of give you a little hope and joy. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God because of their willingness to concede for their brother, to love one another. And there were no robbers. I just talked about perfect love casteth off all fear. See how all this ties together? But yet there's fear in our nation. There's fear in the hearts of people. Why? Because of all the things that take place. Some are fearful that their property will be robbed, or their automobile, or what they have. There is fear. It is real. It happens. Nor murders. And there's murders. Many whose lives have been taken. But it says here there weren't murders. Neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one. And I already spoke about the importance of us functioning together in oneness, in unity. What a force it would be. Sometimes other churches look at this rather, and I guess I could use the word insignificant, at least insignificant in numbers. We aren't a very big church. We aren't very big compared to a lot of the restoration. And a lot feel, well, what could that little church do anyway? Well, I just cite, what did Gideon do with the help of God with 300? They all run the Midianite armies with the power of God there. We don't have to have great amounts if God is on our side. You'd be surprised what you can do, one person. But think of all this room. If we united together, and this is just a small segment of people compared to what's on the face of this earth, a small segment compared to some of the restoration or other churches on this land, but yet united together with united aims. What a force the people in this room alone could be. Don't underestimate what God can do with just a few. And it even mentions in the scriptures that one day that they would prune that vineyard again. And I believe it's about in the process of being done. And it said the laborers were what? Did it say many? Everybody knows what it says. I think it says they were few. But the Lord of the vineyard, that's Jesus Christ, labored with them. And they went forth, and how did they labor? Kind of slack-like? No, it don't say that. It said they labored with their mights. Don't forget that. Let's go on here. And they were one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Now, I kind of like that reading, and I hope you each enjoyed it. It isn't too hard to understand. And I kind of like to bring out some of the plain, simple truths of the scriptures. Sometimes I think we need to dwell upon some of these things and let them sink deeply into our heart. I'd like to turn now over to the book of Colossians, third chapter, and read a little of the writings of the Apostle Paul of old as he spoke responsibility to another people. Colossians, third chapter, verse 1 and 2. Now, who is he speaking to here? Well, the first one tells us, or somewhere along in this, he tells about his speaking to the people at Colossae and those who had been converted unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, most in this room have entered the waters of baptism and have risen with Christ. All right? I'm talking to you. Paul was talking to these here. And those who haven't committed themselves yet to this commitment, the invitation is still there for you through repentance, your faith in God and Jesus Christ and baptism, after which follows the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. And like Nephi said, if you will enter in by the way, and that is repentance and baptism, and receive the Holy Ghost, it, the Holy Ghost, I'm adding those words there because that's what it is, will shew unto you all things what ye should do. So we can't underestimate the importance of the Holy Ghost functioning in your lives. Because it can direct us in our decisions of life and all things that we should do. But we have to live that our body might be a fit receptacle of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's read here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The earthly things don't bring happiness. The heavenly things can. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, I find this is wise, important counsel to each and every one of us to think upon this and let it sink deeply into our individual hearts. Let's skip on down in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. And these are the things that are expected of you. And then he says, holy and beloved, you're to put on bowels of mercies. You're to be a merciful people, one toward another. Kindness. Already spoke a bit about this kindness and the importance of us in our life. We need to be kind, one toward another. Humbleness of mind. This is the type of people we are to be. And this really isn't always an easy thing to do, because a lot of times with our learning and our talents and our capabilities, we get to thinking that we're kind of self-sufficient, and sometimes we get to thinking we're just pretty good, you know, and all this. And when we get to thinking this way, we might think, well, we really don't need God this much. We can just kind of handle it pretty good. But if you really confess tonight, and I would confess, when I've handled it that way, I've kind of goofed it up, you know. It hasn't worked out that way, because I really can't handle things too well alone. I find out that I must rely upon God and Christ. I must rely upon them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that on many instances I have been directed to preach that which is most needed at a given time and occasion for the benefit of the people. I am a witness of that. I know that God knows better than I do what you need or what I need. And we can be thankful to God and Christ tonight because we got somebody that is so considerate and understanding of us. Really, we are rich people tonight. Maybe not in worldly goods. No, I don't think there's many of us. I don't see any millionaires sitting out here. I think I can just kind of say that statement, you know. But we are rich spiritually. Well, let's read on here. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Yeah, Jesus Christ was that meek and lowly person. Long-suffering. If we have to endure a bit of persecution, let us be long-suffering about it. Let me tell you, we're going to have to endure maybe a lot more than a bit. I don't want to try to hold up a black image or anything like this, but the Scripture indicates that there's going to be some persecution in the day of tribulation. And I believe we've entered the fore part of that day of tribulation. And certainly I don't believe it's over, because I believe there's a lot that will transpire. But let me tell you, I know this. If your faith is stayed on Jesus Christ and you place your trust in them, that he can support you. Alma knew that of old. He says, I do know that whosoever will believe in God and Christ and put their trust there shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions. And not only that, he says, and shall be lifted up at the last day. I kind of like that last part, because I'd kind of like to be lifted up at the last day to dwell with Jesus Christ and God, and I would hope that you each might be there too. And I'd kind of like to be there. But it's up to us today whether we're there when that time comes. I mean, it isn't going to be an accident that you're there. You can't deal recklessly with your life and think it will happen that way, because it won't happen that way. Well, let's read on here. Another duty. It says forbearing one another. What do you think the word forbearing means? Well, I wrote it down here, so I don't have to hunt for it, you know. And I kind of like some of these obsolete meanings. That's old meanings. It says to bear with. It says forbearing one another. To bear with one another. And another says endure. Well, that means maybe sometimes even our brothers or sisters kind of irritate us. Well, I guess if we were honest tonight, we'd find that there's some from time to time it may irritate us. See, I mean, I'll let you each answer it. I don't know. But then we find that sometimes that maybe we aren't as kind as we should have been, and maybe some little things does get to us, see. But what does it say here? Forbear one another. To bear with one another. That's what the Scripture says. Paul was talking to the Colossians people the same way. And forgiving one another. And we aren't perfect creatures yet. We kind of do things maybe sometimes that do irritate one another, you know. And I guess if you talk with husband and wife, you can get on that level, you know. And there's a lot of little things sometimes that a wife or a husband, you know, they might get a little edgy one with another, you know. It happens. Oh, we know it happens. We don't have to say it don't, because it does. But yet in all of it, when we deal with kindness and back up from it, you know, it's different. You know, I'm going to tell you a little story. Sometimes I kind of like to tell a few. And this is a real life experience in my life and my wife. And this experience, I think, in some people's lives might even led to a division in the home. But I want you to notice how it worked out. It's a beautiful ending. So I already tell you that the ending was nice. Well, anyway, for a number of years, I also was a volunteer fireman. And for a number of years, I was the secretary and treasurer of that group, so I kept track of all the records. And I had a folder about this thick, you know, and I left it unzippered on the table, and everything was in there. And my wife wanted to move it, zing, over all the kitchen floor. And man, I looked down there, everything a total mess. And she looked at me, and I started getting a read down. You should have zipped that up. You should have did this and this. And then she walked out of the room, and I looked at that. I decided, well, now, I don't care how mad I get. I'm the only guy that can put it back in there. You know, I faced reality right soon. You know what I did? I went to putting it back, and I went to humming a hymn as I did it. And she come back in the room and listened to me and said a little bit more. And she says, well, she says, well, you're the one that should be mad, not me. And so a perfectly dangerous situation we handled, and there was no problem at all. We weren't mad or anything out of it. Well, now, isn't that different than the normal way we usually handle things? Now, I've handled things differently than that, but I want to show you one that worked out so pretty and nice, and this is a way we're to do it. There is a way out of our dilemma today, you know? That's one of the ways. When we're kind and considerate one with another. And I found out, you know, in arguments, if a husband and wife get to arguing, if one quits arguing, you know, it stops after a while. But if you both keep arguing, it just keeps going on. And I found out there are some things in life it's not even worth arguing about. Now, if I can't change anything, there's no need of me even getting upset about it. If I can change it, then I better do something. And there's a lot of things I can't change. They already happened. I can't undo it. And I find that in the lives of people, you know, as I travel. I find a lot of problems around, difficult problems. But yet with God and Christ, they can work out. And I'm thankful that God has helped me to be able to help others. And I think the reason that he's done this is because I do have an honest concern. Maybe sometimes people wouldn't agree, but I do have an honest concern for the problems of people as I travel. And I mean, I'm just not saying it because they know I'm concerned for them. And so with this, God can help me help them. So I'm thankful for that. Well, let's read on here. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And I would like to turn to a little reading here in 3 Nephi on page 636. That kind of ties with this. And I'm just going to read verses 52 through 56. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, is that important for you and I to be meek, or is it not? Those are the ones that's going to inherit the earth. Kind of important, is it not? And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I already spoke about the importance of this Holy Ghost in your lives. Because if you enter in by the way and receive it, it will show you all things what you should do. Now, we constantly have decisions of life to make. Important decisions. But you can turn to 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter, and I'm not going to turn to it, about the 12th verse. And it says, before you accomplish anything unto the Lord, you first pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ that he might consecrate your performance for the well-being of your soul. And I'm just kind of putting it in my wording. It is important that we pray over our decisions of life the things we do. And there's so many scriptures that admonish us to be a prayerful people. And a lot of things work a lot better if we prayed over them instead of becoming angry with them. Sometimes we become angry. There is no adage, a family that prays together stays together. And I guess there's a lot of truth in that, you know. If we can kneel down and pray together, the problems kind of work out. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So is it important or is it not? Now this is found in verse 31 and 32. And this is wise counsel tonight that Paul gave to a people of old. And they must have had some difficulty among them. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And of course, malice is ill feeling or ill will. And here is one of the nice scriptures that sometimes I quote to people, you know. I kind of like it. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I really love that scripture, but it tells of the type of people that we are to be. I would like to turn to the book of Ether now on page 748. Some of the words of Moroni, and I find these, again, important words. And I would like to start with verse about 28. And I'd just like to read a bit of it here because I think these are important words as well in our lives. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. Now that's why we each have some weakness in our makeup. We aren't all strong in everything we do. We know that. There are some things that I have more than one left hand, I think, at times on, you know. There are some things I do well, and there are some things I don't do even near well, you know. I got to be honest. And I have weakness, and you each have weakness. You each also have some strong points in your life. Well, let's read. He gives unto men weakness that they may be humble. And if we were totally strong people, it would be hard to be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles, right down to us now. He's speaking to us. Even though he isn't here, this word was written. He's speaking to us this night. I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. So there is the fountain of all righteousness through the faith and the hope and the charity that we have. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted. He was strengthened, and I hope we each were strengthened through those words. And said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. Now, did you hear that? He works among the children of men according to their faith. For the brother of Jared said unto the mountain Zaron, remove, and it was removed. I tell you what, that took some faith. Don't kid yourself. There was a purpose in it, though. He just didn't move it over on somebody else. Now, I'll tell you that for sure. But there was a definite purpose. Well, let's read on here. And if he had not had faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore, now listen to this, thou workest after men have faith. Did you hear that? There it is. For thus did thou manifest thyself unto thy disciples. For after they had faith and did speak in thy name, thou didst show thyself unto them in great power. And I also remember that thou hast said that thou hast prepared a house for man. Now I really like this too. Yea, even among the mansions of thy Father, in which man might have a more excellent hope, a beautiful place for man. Wherefore, man must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. He knew that. It is prepared, but we must have that hope. We must have that faith. We must have that charity. We must become humble in heart, meek and lowly type people. And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, like he's speaking to Jesus Christ, because Moroni saw Jesus Christ. Even unto the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightest take it up again to prepare a place for the children of men. So a place is prepared. And now I know that this love which thou hast for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except a man shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. Wherefore, I know by this thing which thou hast said, that if the Gentiles have not charity, right today in this United States of America, because of our weakness, and there's a lot of uncharitable people on this Book of Mormon. There's a lot that make fun the way it is written. Well, let's read on. That thou wilt prove them and take away their talent, so they can be as just as conceited as they want to, but the Lord takes it away. It isn't going to be too good for them, is it? But that's what it says. Yea, even that which they have received. So how careful people must be. And give it unto them who shall have more abundantly. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord. Now this is one I really like. Moroni said, I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace that they might have charity. Did you know, many years ago, he prayed for us today. Now, isn't that kind of nice that he'd give unto the Gentiles grace that they might have charity? He was praying for us a long time ago. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, if they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee. Thou hast been faithful, wherefore thy garments shall be made clean. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, now Moroni saw his weakness, thou shalt be made strong. Now this is really a nice story here, I'll tell you. Even unto the sitting down in the place which I prepared in the mansions of my Father. And now I, Moroni, bid farewell unto the Gentiles, just like he was speaking on us today. Yea, and also unto my brethren whom I love, those about him, who were doing all in their power to destroy one another. Until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ, where all men shall know that my garments are not spotted with your blood. And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, and that he hath talked with me face to face, and that he hath told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language concerning these things. And only a few have I written because of my weakness in writing. And now I would commend you to seek this Jesus. I would commend you to seek this Jesus, of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father, and also the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of men, may be and abide in you forever. So we see what a beautiful story has been unfolded before us tonight, of the importance of our walking a certain way. And if we do this, there's great and marvelous blessings of one day even being able to sit down in the mansions with the Father. And so I find there that these are encouraging words tonight. And I do have some other things here, but I think probably it'd be well to draw the service to a close at this time. And I hope you each might have gained somewhat out of what I have presented. And I hope it might sink deeply into your hearts of your responsibility and the things that are expected for you to do.
Thank you, Brother Ely. I want to remind you of our request for these letters that are up here on the table, and if any are interested, and we'll take care of that right after the service. For a closing hymn, we'll use How Great Thou Art, and I believe that's in the back of the books.